Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May be seated. Picture, if you will, Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives outside of the city of Jerusalem. He has been in the city that day, teaching his followers and answering challenges from various religious leaders. Jesus is looking over this city that the Gospel of Luke tells us he wept over when his disciples approach him and ask him how they would know when the end of the age was upon them. How would they know when his second coming was imminent? They asked this question because of something very strange that he had said as they left the city earlier that day. Jesus gives them a few signs to look for. But there are signs that we can still see today: war, persecution, false prophets. They are signs, in other words, that are not going to make them able to discern when the end of the age will be here. And he tells them, that is not yours to know. It is not for the angels to know. It is not something Jesus knew. It was only what the Father knew. But what is important, Jesus says, is what they do while they are waiting. That is what is important. Be watchful, be faithful, be ready and be responsible with what you have been entrusted with. So now picture, if you will, the scene that Jesus paints in today's scripture, a scene that he paints to help the disciples understand in their hearts what it is that he is telling them is their job in this time of waiting. Picture these three men being handed talents, large sums of money. Know that while one man is given five, one man is given two, and one is given only one, that one talent alone was in excess of the wages of a day laborer for 15 years. Picture two of these men taking what they are handed and going into the world to increase what has been given to them by their master. Their master did not tell them what to do exactly with what he entrusted them with, but this is what I imagine. They did what they knew their master would have done. They wanted to please him when he returned, and they went and they did what he would have done. Now picture that third man digging in the earth. Do you smell the soil? Digging in the earth and burying what he had been given. Scared, fearful. He places what was entrusted to him somewhere where no one would find it. And the third man's actions, they result in kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. He thought his master was a harsh man, and he found a harsh man when his master returned and found that he had been so negligent. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Parables like this one were told by Jesus. They were told by other rabbis. They were told not as illustrations to help those who were listening understand a complicated point. That is not why they were told. They were told to elicit an emotional response from those who were listening. So sink into the parable this morning. We should have an emotional response to this parable this morning. Imagine just how much you and I want to be called good and trustworthy slaves, or as the NIV says it, good and faithful servants. And imagine how much we fear instead that we are the one who will be called wicked and lazy, being cast into outer darkness. Now return to the scene of the rabbi and his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and know that Jesus' disciples felt all those same emotions. They wanted their master to be pleased with them. They wanted Jesus to be pleased with them. They wanted their Father in heaven to be pleased with them. And those men, the actions that they took after Jesus was arrested, was crucified, after he was resurrected, after he ascended, they show exactly how much they were driven to do what would please their master. Most of them were martyred for their actions in Jesus' name, because in their time, what they did for their belief was very risky in human terms. In the parable, two servants take treasures that are entrusted to them, and they went out into the world and they doubled them. Now, we don't know how long the master was gone. It's just a parable. It says it was a long time. But anything that brings a 100% return, that's risky. That is risky. And those disciples, they clearly got the message that taking risks was something that was expected. And this was not a message that they were just learning that day on the Mount of Olives through this parable and through others that Jesus told. Jesus' whole ministry had been a risky business. Healing the unclean, speaking with the outcasts, eating with sinners? I mean, really, all you had to do was look at the men who were gathered around him to know that Jesus didn't do things the easy way. Were any of these men scholars? Were any of these men exceptional in any way? Wasn't one of these men a tax collector? Just a few days before this happens, Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem with great fanfare. And then he proceeded to walk to the temple and throw out the money changers and the other merchants. He caused a real stir. And consider, if you will, the view that Jesus and his disciples had before him that evening. Think about the path that they would have taken to get to the perch that they sat on the Mount of Olives that night. The Garden of Gethsemane and Calvary would have both been visible to Jesus that evening. And did you know this? The Mount of Olives for over 3,000 years has been used as a cemetery. It's been used as a cemetery because many people want to be buried right there because that is where they believe the resurrection at the end of days will happen. So Jesus and his followers likely walked through all of that sacred ground that evening. That sacred ground where the bodies of those who hoped for the coming of the Messiah were laid to rest. The Reverend Dr. John Buchanan says about this passage, "Jesus told this story in the midst of his own personal high-risk venture. He told it in the last few days of his life. After this night, Jesus would soon go into Jerusalem. He would celebrate the Passover with his followers, and he would be betrayed, and he would be arrested, he would be tried and crucified, and he would rise again. Risky business. This story, Buchanan points out, is not about doubling money. It is not about accumulating wealth. It is about investing. It is about living. It is about taking risks. It is about Jesus at a moment before he takes the greatest risk of all and what he expects of his followers after he is gone. It is about what it means to be a follower and what it means to be faithful. It is about you and it is about me. The man who buried the talent in the ground thought that the biggest risk he faced was to lose what was given to him and to face the wrath of the one who gave it. That, it turns out, was the riskiest thing to do of them all. Good and faithful servants follow their master, a master who they know is generous and just and fair. Good and faithful servants recognize that they have been given much. Good and faithful servants are thankful for the bounty which they have been given. Good and faithful servants know that the bounty which they have been given is not ours to bury and keep safe. Good and faithful servants take what they have been given out into the world so that it will multiply. They take it boldly. They take it without fear. They take it for the sake of all of those in the world around them, and they take it in the name of Jesus. So may we be so bold and brave today and every day, in the hope that one day all of those that we know, not just ourselves, in the hope that all of those that we know one day will hear, "Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do all so much want to hear at the end of this age, good and faithful servant, enter into my joy. Help us to operate with that in our minds. Help us to go out and take risks and to be bold, to say and do the things that you are calling us to do. Because when we operate in a mode where we are just afraid that at the end of it all, you are going to find us to be wicked and lazy, when we operate thinking that you are a harsh taskmaster, we are going to get what we have moved into. Lord, help us not to bury everything that you have given us, thinking somehow we are going to keep it safe. Help us to know that the only way to please you is to take some risks, because that is what Jesus showed us how to do. In his name we pray. Amen.